Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this kind of muggy morning. Was really appreciating a little bit of cool weather, but I guess we're not ready for fall quite yet. That's fine. A couple of announcements for you. Don't forget that today our church picnic potluck is right after worship. So go on over to Fellowship Hall after worship and get some tasty snacks and, you know, fellowship with your fellow congregants and have a good time. The other announcement I wanted to make is that Is the church directory back there again? I think I see it. We're updating the church directory. We're making sure, yes, okay. Just making sure that all of your information that we have is correct. So if you could go in the back and look at the spreadsheet we have, check off if it's correct, make any corrections that you need to make, and then Son and I will be working to get that all together. Any other announcements? Oh yes, we have a guest musician with us today. This is B. I can't remember what's a
roll.
B-roll. With us today, giving Mickey a much-needed respite, and so we're really happy to have her here today. Be nice to her, as you are to everyone else. Okay, anything else that I'm missing? All right, well, with that, let us gather together and proclaim our readiness to worship with our call to worship. When we look to the rock from which we were cut and to the quarry from which we were dug, we see our ancestors, Abraham and Sarah, who were alone until God blessed them and made them many. When we look to the cornerstone of the church, we see Christ, the Son of the living God. Beginning with Peter, God has made us into living stones. God's house will stand forever. Please rise. We are so much like Peter. Jesus tells us what it'll take to follow him, and we want to argue. Jesus shows us the way to the kingdom, and we look for another path. Jesus puts down all that keeps us from following Jesus. So let us confess our lives to God, praying, "Gracious God, you are always present and active amid your people. We confess that sometimes we fail to recognize and respond to your saving work in the world. We defer to power and privilege, expect the tried and true, and succumb to doubt and despair when your ways are not clear. Behold, you are doing a new thing. Help us to perceive it. Forgive us when we do not respond to your call. Liberate us from our fears and self-imposed limitations. Guide us into the fullness of the life and love that you are at work preparing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen." The steadfast love of the Lord never ends. When we call out to God, God answers. God saves us with a strong and outstretched hand. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and helped to live in grace. Amen. Friends, let us now profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. Please be seated. Let us now lift up our prayers of concern and joy for the world, the church, and for one another. Please pray with me. God of all, thank you for hearing these prayers for the human family with whom we share this world, those closest to us and those whose names we will never know. We give you thanks and ask your help in living into our identity as your children. For the world we share with all creation, the plants and animals we see each day, and the wilderness we've never seen. We give you thanks and ask your help in living into our identity as stewards of your earth. We pray especially for those affected by the fires in Hawaii and those cleaning up following Tropical Storm Hillary on the West Coast. For the local, national, and international leaders, those whose policies we appreciate and those with whom we struggle, We give you thanks and ask that you be at their side, guiding them to act in justice and mercy. For the joys and concerns that occupy our thoughts today, those we have spoken aloud and those we ponder inwardly. We pray especially for Kathy Segi, who experienced a bit of a hiccup in her healing after surgery with a COVID diagnosis on Friday. We also ask that you pray for Jean Holland, Sherry's mom. She is back in Pittsburgh and is at a nursing facility and is not doing very well. God, we give thanks to you and ask that you be at our side, guiding us to recognize that our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Creating, loving, healing God, accept and heed all of these prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise. Please be seated. Siblings, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. As an act of joyful worship, let us now return to God our tithes and offerings. will not proclaim our faith with our words only, but with our lives and these gifts we offer to you, O God. We pray that others might be transformed by your grace, your hope, and your peace. Amen.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Matthew 16, 13 through 20. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah.
Please pray with me. God of revelation, mere flesh and blood cannot reveal divine truth. Only your spirit can give that gift. Be in my breath and voice. Be in all of our ears and understanding that through these words, your word may be known. Amen. There are many times when I'm reading through the Gospels, and I truly empathize with Peter. He recognizes something really special in Jesus right from the get-go, like right away, and he's so eager, and he wants to please, and he wants to get it right, and he knows that these stakes are incredibly high. And yet, in his eagerness, he just gets things wrong so many times. And Jesus doesn't hesitate to rebuke him on it. Oh, this is poor Peter. But you know, we don't have to feel too bad for Peter, because just like us, Peter is redeemed in the end. I feel similarly for Rocky Balboa. Yes, that Rocky from the 1976 movie starring Sylvester Stallone. Now, I'll be honest with you, I've only seen the first one. I have not seen all 9 of them. So maybe this sort of falls apart past the original. And also, please keep in mind, this is not an exact analogy or allegory of any kind. Really, the whole reason that I initially thought about Rocky Balboa was because of the name Rocky. So Peter's given Hebrew name was Simeon, and in English we say Simon. But so when Jesus called Simon and his brother off of the fishing boat to become fishers of men, he was addressed as Simon. And then shortly after that, Jesus gives him the name Cephas, which just happens to be the Aramaic word that means rock. In Greek, it's Petros or Petra, which we then translate into Peter. And just so you know, there are no documented instances of anyone in or outside of the Bible ever being named Cephas, Petros, Peter before Simon. So if you know a Peter, he's a rock. So in the films, Rocky Balboa is a struggling boxer. He's trying to make it big time. And despite his talent and his inability to admit defeat in general, people call him a bum. They don't think he's living up to his potential. And certainly his lower class upbringing in Philadelphia and, you know, very little education, those things didn't help. But due to some extenuating circumstances, the heavyweight champion of the world, Apollo Creed, chooses to fight Rocky. And this is actually a huge opportunity for Rocky to prove himself. And he trains harder than he ever thought that was possible in order to gain some respect and just go the distance. Now, Peter, our Rocky, was also a bit of a meathead and a bum. He wasn't afraid of speaking first or asking questions, but he was also known for his hard-headedness. A fisherman, a Jewish man from the town of Bethesda in Galilee, he wasn't making a whole lot of money. And let's also just say that no one from Bethesda was expected to get a PhD from Harvard. It was a place where people were considered to be a little backwards. And Peter is constantly putting his foot in his mouth. So like after Jesus tells a parable, Peter asks for an explanation, and Jesus replies, "Are you still so dull?" At the scene of the transfiguration where Moses and Elijah appear, Peter, in fear and in confusion, suggests building these shelters, and he's immediately rebuked. And when Jesus washes the disciples' feet, Peter is totally against it, and until Jesus says, like, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Oh, Peter. He tries so hard. Rocky Balboa tries hard too in all aspects of his life. He's struggling to make ends meet as the enforcer for a loan shark, but he's not that great at following through. He awkwardly tries to win the affection of a young woman. He does eventually work out, but there's a lot of back and forth and drama in between. He tries really hard to be a contender in the boxing ring. I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but the movie is 47 years old. You've had your chance. He doesn't win the match. Our gospel today begins with Jesus taking the disciples on a field trip to Caesarea Philippi, the regional center of the Roman Empire. And the history of this place is unmistakable. It's the center of worship for the Canaanite god Baal, the Greek god Pan. It's a place of military defeat where the Jewish captives were thrown to wild animals. Bringing the disciples here, actually it's in the background there, all these little niches where statues would be placed. But bringing the disciples here in this place, it would be kind of like bringing followers, a Jewish leader bringing followers to Auschwitz. Or a Japanese leader bringing people to Hiroshima or Nagasaki. A Native American leader at Wounded Knee. This is a place full of terrible associations. And it's here that Jesus asks the disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" Word on the street was that Jesus was this special guy, right? probably at least one of the major prophets from what we call the Old Testament, probably come back to life. The disciples weren't just the regular out and about folks, though. They had a much more intimate relationship with Jesus. So then Jesus emphatically asked the group, Sandy, you did it perfect. You read it perfectly. But who do you say that I am? And our friend Simon speaks, you are the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. Lo and behold, Peter finally gets something right. By testifying that Jesus is the Son of the living God, he's saying that Jesus is so much more than just a prophet. Not that there's prophets are cool, right? But they're not the Son of the living God. The thing is, though, that Simon couldn't have come up with the answer on his own. Only through divine revelation could Simon have given such a perfect answer. It's not that there was something wrong with Simon. None of us can answer that question without the gift of faith from the Holy Spirit. And with this answer, Simon not only represents all of the disciples, but also stands in for the typical Christian of all times and places. With all of his strengths and weaknesses, he plays the role in the founding of a new community. He represents the Christian faith in general. And this is where Jesus tells a little joke, a pun. And Jesus says, and I tell you that you are rock, Petra. And on this rock, Petros, I will build my church. Simon's new name is Rock. I bet Rocky would have been acceptable. It's important to note here that while Peter, or more accurately, his testimony and faith, are what the church is built upon, Jesus is the builder. Again, Peter is not chosen to be the foundation because of his personal strengths or his accomplishments as a disciple. He doesn't have a really great track record with that, but it's because of his testimony as revealed to him by God. Peter is saying, what I have experienced in you, Jesus, is that you are the Messiah, the one that has been sent to us as a gateway into the kingdom of God. And it's in this statement, it's right here that we're given the theology of church. The church, it's not just a voluntary association of like-minded individuals who have formed a support group. It's good for that too. It's also not a means to achieve a greater goal. The church is an article of faith. We're not only individual testifiers within a community, but we are a community that testifies to the life-giving gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus promised that he would build and protect his church. The church, this church, existed a long time before you or I got here. God willing and through Christ, it will be around granting revelation that generates faith for a long time after us. I think Peter understands the life that most of us live because he's lived it too. One of the lessons that I've gained from Peter and Rocky Balboa is persistence. They both faced a lot of ups and downs, just like we do. And often the crushing realities of life seem insurmountable. For Peter, sometimes it didn't feel like Jesus' nickname was working out so well. He seemed much more like quicksand than bedrock at times. But Jesus continued to reach out to Peter, setting him up to lead. Rocky also persists, thwarted at almost every turn, but he keeps on trying. In that persistence, these rocks find new ways to address their problems and to change minds. And it seems as though they're both still working really hard today. There's certainly no end in sight for the Rocky franchise. And Peter's foundation is strong enough for Jesus to continue building the church. We do have our part to play, though, by answering God's questions and creating our own testimonies. Who do you say that I am? What is your testimony? What is your experience of the living God through the witness and presence of Christ? Take some time to think about those things. Thanks be to God for our rocks. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn, Rock of Ages.
Thank you.
before we head over to Fellowship Hall for a delicious potluck lunch, let me offer a blessing. Jesus asks each of us, "Who do you say that I am?" Answer his question this day and all your days, in every word you speak, with every action you perform. And may the God who restores, the Christ who calls, and the Spirit who empowers bless you and increase you, your joy and gladness, now and always. Amen.